Oh, hi. It's The Great Debates. Happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Whoa, cool.
We're saying it again.
We have to.
Merry Christmas.
It's the law. Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays.
Oh, yeah. We have to say it again.
You have to.
Isn't it just Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah? Are there other holidays coming down?
New Year's.
When the president says to do stuff, do we have to do it?
No, do the opposite.
Yes. Are you guys patriots?
I think it's cool to do what the leader says.
It's always cool to do what the people in charge say. History's always
here's
proven
what
that.
When you do what the leader says and they're wrong, it's so great.
That's true.
Because then you can just give them that look like, yeah, I know, fuck you. It's like, I've been up late, right, with the newborn, watching a lot of television. I watched that Mad Men episode where they get rid of Mohawk Airlines to go for American Airlines, yeah. And then Ducks contact Shell Keneally. It gets fired right before the big meeting, and Don gives him this, you know, like, yeah, well, I was right all along.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it feels great. Anyway, what are we doing? We're wasting time here. I'm wasting time.
I would happily just talk about Mad Men for
I would happily listen to Medina talk about Mad Men for a half hour.
What a great show.
It's so good.
So it's the holidays. I thought it might be fun to do some holiday. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. Christmas is coming. It's possible that a listener might be listening to this on Christmas. And if they are, I wanted to give them some Christmas holiday-themed tops for today. So first top, Dave's going to take the pro.
Woo!
Dave, I know you don't love this role, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
Hmm.
This top submitted by listener and frequent guest BJ Novak.
Oh.
The topic is,
by the way, for listeners who are hoping for the BJ John Mayer holiday special,
It's coming.
Don't know if you follow the news of John Mayer. He had an emergency appendectomy.
It was top story on all the news shows.
Rescheduled for January. We'll get him in here. Don't worry.
Wishing him a safe recovery.
Our best wishes to John. Hope he's feeling
better.
It was
honestly on any John Mayer news website. This was the lead story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
The ones that you follow.
Let's jump into it.
Here we go.
Okay.
Dave King taking the pro. Santa is a jerk.
Oh, Santa's a jerk, man, and I'm Dave King. I'm taking the pro. What's he doing? There's so many better ways to deliver toys. First of all, why does he have to come through the chimney? It's disgusting. It's creating a ruckus. It's, like, inefficient. It's also prejudice towards people who don't have chimneys. I know that's an obvious point. How does he even get in the house of people who don't have chimneys? Also, he's only delivering gifts to people who believe that Christ is the Lord and Savior, or people who believe in Christmas, or people who celebrate Christmas secularly. What a jerk! What an exclusive or excluding gift-giving jerk this guy is. Just because he's generous and like has his elves make gifts up there. Also, think about that. What a jerk. He's not even he makes the elves make toys. He can't get off his lazy ass and help make some of these toys. The guy works one day a year delivering toys, makes these little elves toil in basically a sweatshop in the frozen tundra of the North Pole the rest of the year. And just because he's basically UPS for one night, he's expected to get all the credit. We think he's such a great guy. He sucks. He's a jerk. And he's eating all our food.
Okay. I'm going to have to go as quickly as possible to get through all the points I have to destroy. First of all, inefficient Santa. He's the most efficient delivery man in the history of the world. He goes to every single house.
Well, I don't know how
anybody
does it
who writes him a letter.
Because he's going coming down
Dave,
your chimney.
Your
and then what does he go out the front door?
Okay, you had
Do people
your time.
Think about that? Does he go back up the chimney?
You had plenty of time, Dave.
Okay, sorry.
Now, let's start at the beginning. What is Santa? Jolly. That's the main thing
That's
we know
we
about
think.
Him.
Have, no you jerk, seen,
Dave,
have you seen Santa?
No jerk is jolly. That's just the jolliness is the opposite of jerk. Elves. Dave brought up the elves. The elves are not a sweatshop. The elves are happy. They're singing when they make those toys. They get hot chocolate whenever they want and cookies. They love being in the North Pole. They're not safe anywhere else in the world. They have a happy life under Santa.
You're
he
making
is,
all this up.
We don't know
that's
that he doesn't.
That's all
apocryphal,
the
know
idea that the elves are happy.
No, that's canon. We don't know that he doesn't help make those toys.
Canon.
Furthermore, as for he only delivers to people who believe in our Lord and Savior. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't know this.
People who celebrate Christmas.
No, I think it's anyone who writes Santa a letter and has been good.
Well, most people in the world don't know to write Santa a letter.
That is okay. That's on us. It's not on Santa to tell people, write me a letter, I'll bring you some presents. Okay,
if Santa's so magically efficient, as you say, then what's the difference? Why can't he deliver gifts to the... to like the billion children of the world and not just the, I'm estimating, 200 million Christian children
he
of the world.
He can if they write him a letter and put up a tree and are good.
Yeah, I think that's a jerk move. I think it's a jerk move to say, like, these kids are more important than the other kids.
No, they've opted out. Santa doesn't impose his beliefs on anybody. Santa's not a missionary. Santa,
if there's one person who should have a think globally attitude, one person who should
he goes all to every continent. Santa goes to every single continent.
And not every house. That's a fact. Why is that?
Kids of every race?
Just because 100%. They didn't write a letter, Santa should be better than that.
They didn't write a letter, or I mean, just to help you in the debate. Like, what about the fact that Santa leaves out the bad kids?
No one is driving consumerism more than Santa, because Santa brings these
toys. Santa's making the toys.
I understand.
They're handcrafted.
I understand, Healy, that Santa makes the toys, but after he delivers them, you got to get to keeping up with the Joneses factor. And once your neighbor gets the best new toy, you want to buy the next new toy. That's a jerk move. Yeah, if Santa were a good man, he would be. Think of all the power Santa has up there in the North Pole with all of these elves slaving away making toys. What he should be doing is putting all of those resources towards charity. Think of all the, or not even charity, but just
this argument is so tiresome. You want Santa, him to give out malaria nets?
I have to argue that Santa's a jerk. What do you want from me? I don't even believe in the guy. I don't even think it's, I know nothing about him. I didn't grow up celebrating Christmas.
It'd be more efficient if Santa gave out clean water tablets in Africa.
Well, great idea. I wouldn't accuse him of being
a jerk.
That's
not his mission.
Ooh, Steve.
Thank you.
What the?
I gotta say,
you got stuck with a stinker there. It's not your fault.
I'd love to know what BJ's reasoning was.
That's what I want to know. BJ, can you tweet at us with what your reasoning was there?
Man, arguing the pro for me is like trying to button a woman's shirt.
It's hard.
My brain is on the wrong side. I gotta, like.
Wait, I'm sorry. What? You're. The scenario is you're standing behind a woman and buttoning her shirt.
No, women's shirts are on, the buttons are on the other side, the men's. Very funny.
You pictured me standing behind a woman helping her button up her dress?
Yeah.
Her shirt?
A woman with no arms.
Okay.
I think if you button a woman's shirt from the front, it's like buttoning a man's shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the idea. But yeah, if you're wearing a women's shirt.
The listeners knew what I meant.
They did.
Trust me.
Tweet at us
and let us know.
Okay, please tweet at us. Did you picture me trying to button a woman's shirt, or did you picture me standing behind an armless woman trying to button her shirt?
Or were
up
you
for
just
her?
Like, what are you talking about? Or were you like, I'm a woman?
I'm a woman listening to a man, and I'm a woman who's tried to put on a man's shirt, so I understand the buttons are on the other side. If anything, a woman's going to understand it better because women more often wear men's shirts than men wear women's shirts. But anyway,
I think so.
It's what, as we know
good
from
top.
Shania Twain, that one of the great things about being a woman is you can wear men's shirts, as she sings in Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
It's not the best thing about being a woman.
Well, no. The best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun.
Correct.
And that's, of course, is the best thing. Yeah. But one of the true pleasures is men's shirts, tight skirts, something like that.
High heels, something else. I forget. If you make that noise for like 30 seconds, do you have to pay Shania Twain?
Like on TV?
On the air, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
More than 30 seconds.
I think it's less than that.
Less than that, you might get stung.
I think even if you just went totally crazy, I think you got to pay up.
Wow.
I don't. It could be a good court case.
I'd love that. Someone should go out and try that.
I think we're in host chat.
I dare someone famous to get out there and do one of Shania Twain's licks and get sued.
Yeah. A test case. ACLU should find somebody willing to do it. And
yeah.
For sure. It's what the country needs right now.
I've got a Christmassy...
I'm worried about this Gorsuch guy. I think he's
a Twain originalist.
Yeah.
I got some Christmas host chat.
Wonderful.
I was out shopping.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah. Right, I was shopping at like a high-end kind of store.
Uh-huh.
And
must be nice.
I needed a little break. It was the kind of store that you could, they had a chair you could sit down in.
Why aren't you going to tell us what store it was?
Because it will tip off a possible listener who might be tipped off about what I was shopping for.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm at the store.
Oh, that's charming.
And I sit down in the chair, and I look at my phone for about 20 minutes.
Healy,
I'm tweeting them on the email.
Before you go any further.
Totally, yep.
Did you buy me something from Anthropology?
That woman's shirt I've been talking about?
Okay, sorry.
Here, okay, so I sit down. I get lost in that phone reverie, you know, and you really get into it with your phone and take a lot of... And then I finally I'm all done and I stand up and I see a sign on the door of this store that says no cell phone use.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, my question is what I was doing, silently ingesting cell phone information but not talking, does that what they were referring to, or are they just talking about please don't talk loudly on your cell phone?
I think they're talking about loud, so like phone, the phone part of your supercomputer.
Right. Yes. So I'm totally fine.
Well, were you using cellular data or wireless data?
Data, yeah. I wasn't using their Wi-Fi, no.
Well, then I think that is cellular. I think that's cell phone use. If you'd been able to hack into a wireless network somewhere, I think you'd have a good case by the letter of the law.
You would have been fine.
So we've got two good ones for Gorsuch.
Oh, yeah. And I think SCOTUS will hear these.
Do you think any Supreme Court clerks listen to Great Debates? I would think that the kind of people who are clerking the Supreme Court, young people who like argument, they might. Somebody probably found Great Debates over there.
We should promote the show to those.
Oh, we should do a
amongst
live one.
Those circles.
I mean, yeah.
We should be advertising in like the Law Review.
That's a tremendously good.
Can you advertise in the Law Review?
Of course,
sure.
Buy a whole page.
It's crazy that we're not based out of DC. Now that I think about it,
we should have a DC branch. Yeah,
absolutely.
What does it look like for us to have a branch?
It would be a little townhouse, like in Georgetown or somewhere. And if you're a fan of the show, you can come in, and Heather, the girl that works at the desk, will check you in. There's a little library. You can listen to old debates.
Okay, yeah.
And when we're in town, we stay there and we do the debates there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a bedroom.
Well, of course there's a bedroom.
If you're a Great Debates member, you can stay there.
Yeah. And where?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I get it.
Great. Should we debate or...
Yeah, we could debate. Yeah. Okay. It's the holiday. It's the Christmas time.
Christmas,
I've got another Christmas debate. Holidays. Steve Healy's going to take the pro again just to set things right in the studios.
Sure.
Get us on the right side of the table, each
Please.
Of us. This is a simple one.
Okay.
I don't know. Is this a listener top or is this a Healy top?
Oh, that's a Healy top.
Okay, great.
Another I am a listener, so.
Healy top. He's also a listener. Listener Steve Healy. Steve Healy taking the pro. Jesus would be shocked by Christmas.
Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth, a first century Jewish peasant, would be completely baffled by the idea that a guy in a red suit from the North Pole on a sled shows up, and he wouldn't know what to do with Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas to You. This is my birthday? What the frig? All I was trying to do was bring about the kingdom of God on earth, according to Isaiah and all that. I went around preaching a little bit, and now you guys are having roast turkey on my friggin' birthday in a continent I've never heard of? Yeah, I'm shocked.
That's all you got?
Pretty much.
Healy seems to have forgotten that Jesus... maybe Healy's not a true believer. I don't know. I mean, I thought Healy went to church every Sunday, and maybe he doesn't. But
not
if
anymore.
Healy read his scriptures, he would know that Jesus is bound to come back to earth. I don't think any Christian would be surprised to see Jesus return. And when he did, I think they would be surprised if Jesus was anything other than all-knowing and understood exactly what was going on when he returned. He's coming back for a reason. He has a father who happens to know a thing or two about what's going on. He has a father who happens to be both omnipresent and all-knowing, and I'm sure that they've been talking about what's been going on down here on Earth. So would he be shocked? No, of course not. The idea that, even just to say that, like, Jesus isn't with us right now, I find a bit blasphemous, if I'm being honest. And so I would say that not only would Jesus not be shocked, but he would be, because Jesus is, not to be, a bit flowery, but Jesus is within me. He's within you, if you believe. I don't happen to, but this is what the scripture tells us. And because he is due to return, I don't think that most biblical scholars would say that when Jesus returns, he's going to be, he's doing it without reason. And certainly to me, that would imply that there's been some level of monitoring going on between him and God and the Holy Ghost or whatever that third guy is. And so, no, of course he's not going to be shocked. I mean, you can blast me with all the, you know, craziness about how consumerism is out of hand. Sure, that's why he's coming back. That's why he's keeping an eye on us. It's part of the reason.
Cool thing about Jesus is that he's 100% God and 100% human. And we're going to operate under Dave theology.
It's not my theology. I'm only going off of what your people have written and believe.
Okay, sure.
It's not my testament,
sure,
bro.
Fine.
Not my book.
Let's play by your rules. He's 100%
not my rules.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do you know I want to play by these?
No,
we can play by any rules you want.
They're my rules. It's just not my book. I don't believe it, but I'm going along with it.
Okay, why? We don't have... Just because you have to believe that in order to win the side of the debate. Well, so you're believing in something you don't... You're taking on Christianity just so you can win the debate?
No. Do you want me to actually answer that question seriously? The reason that
Do you think that's a betrayal of your ancestry?
No, not at all. Okay. I believe that to debate within the parameters of this question at all, Jesus would be shocked, et cetera, et cetera. We have to operate within the confines of what theology tells us about Jesus. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was anything more than a man. I believe that Jesus existed, but I don't believe that he's the Messiah have you, which is, I hope people don't hold that against me. I'm not saying that he's definitely not, he's obviously very important to people.
I mean, some people think you're going to hell, other people don't care.
That's true. A lot of people think I'm going to hell.
Roy Moore.
And Roy Moore definitely thinks I'm going to hell, as do your people, Christians. And so what I'm saying is that, like, if we're going to actually debate about it, it's sort of the same way, like, I mean, you know, we've had topics like if angels were real, they'd have wings and stuff like that. So I'm operating within the same parameters.
But that does posit if angels are real.
I'm sorry?
It's not necessarily implied in this topic that Jesus is anything other than a historical guy who did live.
Great. Great point, Healy. Then I would say to that, if you're a Medina or a listener who happens to believe that Jesus doesn't actually like have the capacity to come back or never existed in the first place as a deity, then he also wouldn't be shocked by what's going on with Christmas. So thank you for leading me down another path, which also proved...
Why wouldn't he be shocked? He was like a guy from, you know, first century Palestine. He didn't know what was going on. Christmas would be quite shocking to him. Just the internet would be shocking. Well, recorded music.
But I guess I'm saying, like, I'm going down the path of, like, he's not real.
Okay.
Jesus is one of my arguments is Jesus is and only was a carpenter in Bethlehem or wherever. And my other argument is, if you want to play within the rules of the Bible, of course Jesus is coming back and he knows exactly what's going on. Nothing's going to shock him.
Let's take you on your Bible side. Let's assume that Jesus is God.
I know very little about the Bible.
But just what you're talking about. Well, I'll go with all your premises. He would be shocked. He'd be like, what? I didn't say anything about Christmas. I didn't tell you to do any of this stuff. I gave you some very clear instructions about, you know, basically turning the other cheek, being nice to people, being a good guy. That's more or less what I had to say.
Okay, third argument, Healy, is that he would not, again, I think my first two arguments hold, but if you to refute this particular argument, I would say Christmas itself is one of the most joyous, kind days of the year.
It's nothing but commercialism and salesmanship. It's disgusting. It's everything he was turning over the tables in the temple. He hated that stuff. Give that money away. If you have two coats, give one away. The last thing he wanted was like elaborate feasts and presents wrapped up. That would have disgusted him. Shocking, he would have said.
Okay, so now that you're done talking, I'll remind Medina and our listeners that the holiday season is the most charitable time of year. It's the time when people give away the most to people in need. It's the time when people share the most gifts. It's the time when things like canned food drives and jacket drives and shoe drives for the homeless and toys for underprivileged people are more giving at Christmas time than any other time of year. So would he be shocked? Maybe, but he's relative to the other days of the year, of all the days of the year.
He wouldn't be shocked at all. He'd be like, finally, you guys are doing, you're not perfect, but you're doing something like what I said to do.
Not shocked. Thank you. Good.
Okay. Oh, good. So I forgot which side I was in. No, he'd be shocked. He'd be like, this is the form it took? Presents and trees? Like, this is so completely wrong. Also, by the way, canned food drives and giving out jackets to needy kids. Like, look around. Do you think we're taking care of each other? Like, these are token gestures we do once a year. And he's going to say, like, you guys are chalking that up to my friggin' birthday?
I know Despicable. That you're arguing something that you're not comfortable with, and it's showing because your emotion, your heart isn't actually in it. And you know, as a child or as a man who grew up celebrating Christmas, that Christmas is not about consumerism. It is first and foremost about family and friends.
It's about and Santa about and Rudolph. Yeah, but it's about it's largely invented by the advertising industry. Coca-Cola.
Oh, so
how did Coca-Cola get in on
in our lives?
Like what?
What's that?
Like what?
Well, many of the other holidays and many of the great products
they're
that
junk.
We have.
That's not what this guy wanted. He'd be disgusted, shocked, and appalled by Christmas. And to blame it on him, that's even worse.
Okay.
Shocking.
I've made three different great arguments for why he wouldn't be shocked, and I haven't really heard arguments why I'm wrong in any of them. So my case rests.
Okay. My case would be that he would be shocked, first of all, because he was the world that we live in is totally unfamiliar to him. He'd be shocked if he were God, because he'd be like, this is disgusting and not what I told you to do.
I mean,
and completely wrong.
Obviously.
And he'd just be pissed about Christmas in general. It's not at all what he had in mind. Shocking.
And you don't need a closing statement.
I don't need one.
Okay.
Serene.
The defense rests.
Medine's.
I'm going with Dave.
Yeah, you're damn right.
He had a strong case.
I think he had control of the debate for the entire time.
True.
I think he had the momentum and the command of the whole thing. So, yeah.
I took you by surprise, didn't I?
I was impressed with your performance, but I actually like when you do well, in the rare occasion that you do. Because it's good. It's good for the debate.
Sure. It's like a Red Sox-Yankees thing. You want them both to be relevant. You want them both to be
right.
good.
Right. 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 Right.
You know, we sort of raise each other to
new heights of debatitude.
It's like a great tennis rivalry.
Mm. I also think it sounds to me like Jesus was kind of a chill dude.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't think he was a real, like, there's that whole, like, okay, yeah, and let's all stone her, and who has not sinned shall cast
right.
the first. He kind of like got with people on their level.
Yeah, he changed water into wine.
Exactly. And so I think he'd just be like, guys, I get it, what you're doing here. I get why this is attractive, but maybe if we just changed our perspective a little bit, blah.
Hey, gather around the nog, pour me one.
Yeah.
Put a little rum in it. Sure, yeah. Let's talk. Let's actually talk about what
I
we're really getting
at. That's how
here,
he would handle
it. And how I really want to celebrate my
and
birthday.
And I don't think that he would be shocked.
No. He's chill.
He's chill.
He was the first chill bro.
What? You know, I have a really cool... It's funny that you mentioned the Coca-Cola. I have a fun, cool old Coca-Cola ornament on my tree over there. We're recording at Medina Studios because Medina is a newborn. And we decorated our Christmas tree the day before we went to the hospital. And a few years back, my mother gave me a bunch of old Christmas ornaments from my childhood. Among them, a groovy old Coca-Cola, Santa Claus.
That's great.
Christmas what will ornament. Hazel get for That's baby's great. First Christmas?
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean, she got, like, to be born.
Right.
It's a pretty good
That's
gift.
Huge.
The gift of life.
Which is cool. The gift of life.
Has she been good mostly since then?
Yeah. I think she's one of the good little girls.
Okay.
It'd be fun there. To have a fun ornament collection would be, like, the most evil corporations as ornaments like Halliburton and Enron and stuff like that. Monsanto. Do you think Monsanto makes a Christmas ornament?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. At their Christmas party, you think they don't have Monsanto ornaments everywhere?
So, that's you know, if you're trying to play a little, have a little fun with your family.
Of course, the problem with
Adbusters Christmas.
Monsanto ornament will eat all the other ornaments is the problem.
Interesting.
Then your tree is 100% Monsanto.
Right. Clever. It's Roundup ready. What are you guys doing for Christmas? Do you have big plans?
I'm going back to Massachusetts/Rhode Island.
Yeah.
It's the fam.
Davis, are you traveling?
I'm going to be in Minnesota for Christmas.
Whoa!
It's cold as hell.
What are you looking forward to up there?
Is it going to be a white Christmas?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be cool.
A traditional Christmas?
A traditional Christmas.
I think it'll be pretty traditional, yeah.
Nice.
We're celebrating with Esther's family up there.
It's
really nice.
Is there any Christmas song that when it comes on, you were like, all right, I'll give it up to that. I do like that.
Most of them.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, Dave's a Christmas skeptic.
Okay.
Well, I know it exists. I like that, you know, Christmas time.
Oh, Charlie Brown. Yeah, yeah.
Charlie Brown. That's is always, a good one. That's cool. That's fine. And I like the...
Vince Guaraldi Trio. Really good.
I can't remember some of the other... Whatever.
I was over at the Tam O'Shanter. Mm. You guys know that's old school steakhouse. One of the oldest restaurants in LA. What a great
place to go during Christmas time.
And the caroler, they got the carolers. Yeah. They came over.
Full costume.
They sang some carols for us. And after they were done, somebody was at the table with it. You know, isn't it amazing that people can just make a noise that just brings you pleasure and joy? Isn't that nice and rare?
You want to know a true story?
Yeah.
I was at, you might have been there. One of you might have been there. I was at the Tam O'Shanter like 8 years ago or something around Christmas time with friends.
We were all there together, I think.
Maybe.
We at least went once together.
Yeah. I didn't know there were going to be carolers there, and they started singing, and it like gave me a panic attack and I had to leave. I hated it so much.
You hated
it? Yeah, I really don't like that.
What?
It's like so in your face and it's like such, it's like intense Goyesha. I can't even describe it. But I just was like, not for me, dude. And then you bailed out. I was like getting...
you bailed on your prime rib.
Yeah, it made me like agoraphobic or something, which I never am.
That's incredible.
And I was like, yeah, I got to go. I'm leaving, which I never do. I felt bad about it.
Do you remember what song it was that really set you off?
No. I mean, they all kind of are the same to me.
Well, guys, on that note, I hope you're out there caroling and merrymaking.
Do not go to Dave's house. A wassailing.
Hey, write to us. Send us your Christmas list. We'd be looking forward to hearing from you. We're at The Great Debate 69 everywhere. And Merry Christmas. See you next week.
The Great Debate is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.